Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study of the Spirit-filled man, and we have been outlining God's design for the Christian man. And yesterday, we sort of unpacked a bit some of the things that have happened throughout history in the man's tyrannical and unloving approach to his wife. And remember, looking at the Greek and Roman cultures at this time, Demosthenes said that we have courtesans for our pleasure, concubines for our daily cohabitation, and wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and having a faithful guardian for our household affairs. The Greeks viewed women simply to run the home and to care for children. The Roman view was that women are to be married to be divorced and divorced to be married. And thus we have the story told of one woman who had been married 25 times. This has been the response of men to women throughout history. We've looked at her struggle. We look at how he's responded to that. He has not responded in love. And so today and tomorrow on Abounding Grace, I want to look at really what is the most important section of Scripture to really think about in terms of the roles of the Christian man. That is Ephesians chapter 5. This is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. The husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And then in verse 31, we read, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's always been interesting to me that the apostle won't even have this discussion apart from rooting it in the gospel. He compares our headship as men to the headship of Christ over his bride, the church. So he wants you to see the comparison. And the question that comes out is this: what did Jesus Christ do for his bride? The amazing thing about this is simply that Christ so actively pursued his bride. What happened in that pursuit? Well, what do we enjoy today as believers? As believers in Christ, what kind of relationship do we enjoy? We enjoy one that is united to him by faith. The mystery of the gospel is simply the spiritual union that comes by faith, meaning that there's an inseparable connection between us and Jesus Christ. We are united to him. We are in him, so that whatever is said of him is true of us. He was raised. We are already raised in principle. He was crucified. We have been crucified. He conquered. We conquered. You see how inseparable that union is? It's an unbreakable union based upon his relentless pursuing love to us, and we enjoy that. And now you get a sense of just why God hates divorce. Christ doesn't divorce his bride. He went to the ultimate sacrificial extreme to pursue her, to present her as a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. So that means, and this is so important for our whole study on marriage and the family and for the responsibility of the man, the whole balance and success of the marriage ultimately does depend upon the man. Why? Well, the woman is wired to be a responding vessel to his love. And not just any kind of love, but a love that is like the love that we as Christians have received from Christ himself. And that's why Ephesians 5 is so important, because it outlines the way the man is to love his wife, the way he dwells with her with understanding. If her problem is summarized in the fall by leaving her position and not submitting, the way she returns by the Spirit of God to her God-glorifying responsibilities is through the man's love. How so? Well, here's what the Lord says. What is the purpose of our love as men? Or how about this? Why did Christ give himself up for us? Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 25. He did this that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, that she should be holy and without blemish. Did you get that? What is Christ doing for his bride? He is actively working to wash his bride and to make her beautiful. In other words, he's protecting her. In John 14, when we were joined to Christ by faith, you know, we have this whole truth laid out in John that we get a kind of washing. But then Jesus taught the disciples something that's really important. When he got on his feet and washed their feet, he was declaring that he was committed to always wash them from the defilement that comes from living in this world. How are we washed? In other words, as we go through daily life, as we walk through our lives as Christians, we're constantly walking into sin, or we're constantly faced with things, we're constantly facing defilement, we're constantly, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, doing the things that we don't wish to do. And what does the Lord do for us? When we come to Jesus, when we believe in him, we are justified. We get a bath, if you will. We're washed. But then, through this imagery of Jesus stooping down and washing their feet, what was he declaring? We are washed with the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5 says. So Christ is always committed to you, dear Christian, to take a giant towel with his word and cleanse your hearts from all the impurity and all the sin that you are exposed to. Our beauty is seen in our purity. Doesn't he care to constantly take away our filth and the sin that so easily ensnares us and wash us with the washing of water by the word? He is angry about anything that approaches his wife to defile her. Now, think back to Adam and Eve in the garden. There comes the ultimate defiler, the devil, disguised in a serpent. And he is coming right for Adam's wife, Eve. Adam stands there like a pathetic fool. He does nothing. He doesn't lead her. He doesn't crush the head of the devil, which the last Adam had to do for us. Transfer that. Paul is saying this to make us think about how we are to love our wives and protect our wives and families. Let me make this really clear to the Christian husband. Your number one responsibility is to cleanse your families with the word. That's a great statement, isn't it? An important statement. Your number one responsibility is to cleanse your families with the word of God. Do you realize that means that you are held responsible for even your own wife's spiritual growth? We don't think like that. We think like that about children, not our wives. You know how many wives I've seen when the husbands are leading and they're leading spiritually in the home and they're reading the word and they're leading in that important responsibility to be a part of Christ's body, the church. Do you know how many wives I have seen grow in conviction and strong in the faith because they have a strong husband that leads? This is so important that the husband has to understand. This is what Christ does for his bride. He promotes her growth. He ensures her growth. And the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He is given a crucial responsibility in his families to also protect her and promote that growth. We protect what our families see, what our families are involved in, what they are exposed to. You know how many fathers are so disconnected from their families and the things they are being exposed to? So here we're seeing a great responsibility that the Lord has given us. Everything that would lead to any kind of perversion or defilement in the life of our wives or children has to be viewed as the greatest threat to their souls and the husband's responsibility to go after it. Do you realize on that day that we will be presenting as the head of the home, in a sense, our families to the Lord? That's the imagery. Christ is actively working to promote the church's purity for the grand presentation to come on Judgment Day. Husbands, what will you have to present in the way that you've labored for your families? A neglected wife? Children who never heard from you? Children who received no spiritual training from you ever? What are you going to present to the Lord? You're going to hold out for your child, what, a basketball? What will your wife be presented as? Pristinely beautiful? So this is the responsibility, and I know it's a great responsibility that no one can do themselves. They need the Lord's grace, don't they? In verse 28, the apostle then summarizes, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hated his own flesh." What a statement, isn't it? Put that together. He says, we are members of his body and of his flesh and bones. How does Christ care for us? You ever think about this on a daily basis? What does Christ do to show his care for us? Well, the honest answer to that as Christians is we've known nothing but nourishing and cherishing love from him. But when a man doesn't do that with his wife, you know what he's demonstrating? He's demonstrating that first, he needs to understand and he needs to be reconciled to God himself. Paul's explaining this because he says he would never blatantly hate himself. But that is actually what happens when he neglects his own wife. So are you seeing this? It's what Peter said, that we should work to understand our wives, to dwell with them with understanding, to honor them, to lift them up, because when we don't, our prayers are hindered. They're cut off. Fellowship is broken when a man is refusing to love the very thing he represents. So this is an amazing truth, isn't it? That we are actually called as men to represent Christ's love for the church. You say, I can't do that. And I say today, I know you can't. I believe this standard is so high that it can only be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit in a truly transformed life. And even then, it will just be a dim reflection of the unfathomable love that we receive in Christ. But when it's done in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and a man is truly loving his wife by nourishing and cherishing her, I'm going to see one of the strongest men of prayer among us. Paul is saying, the man is so united with his wife that when he neglects her, he's neglecting himself. And that has a direct bearing spiritually upon his relationship with Christ. For no man ever hated his flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. And that's the ultimate motivation, isn't it, today to think about? To always remember that I am given a great opportunity to tell a story, to tell the story of Jesus Christ and his gospel, to tell the story of his love for me and giving his life, and that I can show that love to a lost and dying world by loving my wife as Christ has so loved his church. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.